And thanks for joining today's CEO Fireside Chat. My name is Cecilia Diaz, and I'll be managing today's session. Before we get started, I have some housekeeping items. First, I want to point out the questions module within the ON24 platform. We welcome you to enter your questions at any point during the talk, and if time allows, we will answer whatever questions we can at the end of the session. You can always adjust the size of the media player on your end to make it bigger or smaller, depending on your preference. And finally, please note that this note is being recorded, and we'll share a link to this session after we wrap up today. Now I'm going to pass it over to our moderator. With us today, we have Lien, the Sales Director at Turnkey Consulting North America. She will introduce our speakers and is running our session for today. Take it away, Lien.
That's great. Thank you so much. And good morning, good afternoon, everybody, wherever you are in the world today. And thank you for joining us with this really exciting CEO Fireside Chat to really talk about how your company can protect themselves against cyber threats. As mentioned, I'm Lien Israel. I'm the Sales Director for Turnkey Consulting in North America. And today I have the pleasure of being joined by two distinguished CEOs, Bridget Hunn from Turnkey and Mariano Nunez from Anapsys. So welcome to both of you. So today, Richard and Mariano are going to share lessons learned and just provide some practical tips and best practices for securing your organization. And we'll examine how to approach the SAP security and how this has shifted over the last decade or so. So if that sounds good to you guys, I can dive in and start asking you some questions and just get, you know, the blood flowing and some thoughts going. What do you guys say?
Absolutely. No, thanks, happy to be here. And the distinguished part, I'm sure, was for Richard, but I'm happy to be here.
I'm not sure about that.
Okay, next time I will not introduce you to like that. It's fine. No, well, thank you so much for joining us today. So, I mean, why don't we just dive in with something pretty quick and easy to start the conversation? And Richard, I'm going to address this to you to kick us off, but how has the approach to SAP security changed over the last decade?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, actually. I mean, to be honest, my personal experience, I started securing SAP systems over 25 years ago now when I joined PwC. At that time, one of my colleagues, one of the partners that was there, Heinrich Wilking, he'd actually kind of formed a security team within PwC, which I believe was one of the very founders of kind of, you know, securing SAP. What I would say is that what SAP security means has evolved significantly over that period of time, and in particular over the last sort of 10 years, you know, since sort of Mariano entered the fray, you know, with Anapsys, etc. So when I first started at PwC and first started sort of securing SAP systems, essentially, what that really meant was roles and authorizations within the SAP environment. And it was really all about protecting the system from fraud and from internal threats. And I think a large part of that, I mean, I'm going to date myself a little bit, because in all honesty, when I first started at PwC, we were taught how to send memos to partners who didn't really like to receive emails, you know? So at that time, the concept of actually an internet-facing SAP environment didn't really exist. So I think the threats to your SAP environment have evolved over that period of time. And as a consequence, how you actually secure your organization against those threats has evolved over that time. So like I say, at the beginning, it was all about roles and authorizations. I think there are one or two SAP security teams these days that are still focused on roles and authorizations, but the threat landscape to your SAP system has evolved a lot over the last 20 years, particularly over the last 10 years or 15 years even, as SAP environments have been exposed to the internet and to external threats over that last sort of, you know, period. I think the threats, as I say, have evolved, and the things that you need to do to secure against those threats have evolved. I know Anapsys have kind of been at the forefront of a lot of that, Mariano. So, you know, yeah. Be interested to hear your take on things.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right, Richard. I think the really maybe the benefit that we had is our background. We were not SAP security experts. Right? The founding team at Anapsys, the core team, we were cybersecurity researchers and penetration testers, ethical hackers. So we approached the problem statement from a different perspective. It was not so much about how someone with a user in SAP would be able to create kind of financial fraud or perform unauthorized activities, but really how someone even without a user in the system, a remote attacker, someone that was just trying to kind of hack into the crown jewels of the company, how would that they approach that challenge? And I think really that was kind of the surprising fact for us. It's like we realized that the current state of most organizations, many Fortune 10, Fortune 2000 organizations, was they were in many cases still struggling to do roles and authorizations, which is a very complex and still very important part of the security posture, right? I want to make that very clear that the new type of cyber threats doesn't invalidate the fact that you need to do GRC and access controls and segregation of duties. For us was that realization that no matter, like if you're only doing that part, it's almost like it's necessary but not sufficient, right? If you're only doing that part, segregation of duties and roles and authorizations, you may still have someone that is, even without a user, taking full control of the platform, exploiting either a misconfiguration, a missing security patch at the SAP layer, insecure custom code and interface, which essentially completely bypasses the functional security layer. And maybe going a bit technical here, but for the GRC and roles and authorization practitioners in the call, it's almost as if you have an invisible user that has SAP op, right? And it can that user can do everything that a SAP op user can do, take full control of business processes, jump across clients, jump across company codes, and at the same time perform all that without leaving any trace on the system. So it's a fundamental change of how we conceive the threat landscape and the threat to the system. And I think to your point, Richard, I think we've seen that evolution now over the last 10 years, as we've seen more and more systems getting exposed to new type of use cases like cloud, DevOps, mobile, RPA, and like really kind of going outside of the firewall, but also seeing the threat actors really looking at the bad guys, where it's nation state or hacktivism or cyber criminal groups, really taking advantage of these gaps in the security posture. So it's been a fantastic evolution over the last 10 years of how the domain has changed, right? And how we, together with Richard and really a lot of people in the industry, are trying to help organizations evolve and be ready to protect their systems.
Yeah, I mean, just to pick up on something in there, the patch management side of things is an interesting point, you know, in terms of the evolution of things. When we first sort of started securing SAP systems, we looked at patch processes, but SAP's own patching kind of, it was a bit patchy. you know, I think kind of practitioners like yourselves pushing SAP to have a more robust patching process and actually to release more regular security patches has evolved the landscape around that in terms of what companies can and should be doing in terms of protecting their SAP systems as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, we've seen that progression. Like when we started reporting the first 0 days and working with SAP security response teams, it was a lot of like new, even for SAP themselves, right? And when you look at the evolution of SAP, especially over the last 5 years, with a lot of new processes, new leadership, a lot of like improvements at the process level, you see the time to respond, the time to patch, even how SAP is now proactively talking about cyber threats, working with organizations like us and CISA and BSI and CERT. It's really, I think, a very kind of refreshing view to see SAP operating that way, which I think is very appreciated by customers because they know that they need help in order to do this. They need us, they need SAP, they need their teams. It's really, we're all like defenders together trying to really solve this problem.
Mm. Well, I will say to you, and what I wanted to go just lead into is I come from an audit background and a GRC background, and it's very interesting that nobody liked that job. Nobody cared about who we were. And now, because of people like you, you've put security back on the forefront. Everybody knows that it's a priority and it's important and it's why, right? So it's cool now to be an auditor. It's cool to be in, you know, security because everybody's talking about it, and it doesn't matter which part of the business you're in, it's important. right? So thank you to both of you for creating such amazing companies that support us in this. So just going to, like, you guys are talking a lot about how that the threats have evolved. But was there anything that specifically happened, like, over the last 10 years that has made you guys stand up and say, you know what, there was a breach and this is why we need a company like Anapsys? Or what was specific in the industry that made you guys say, hey, we need to start to evolve security a lot more?
Yeah, I can start with that. And I will touch on something that just said, Leanne. I think that is really important probably for the people in the audience. I think what this also presents mainly at the personal level, when you think about professional development and growth opportunities for people in the audience, I think it's a great opportunity in front of many of the practitioners that were traditionally coming from a GRC and audit background to really expand your area of influence in the organization, right? You can really evolve from that kind of roles and authorization and that model to really grow into this field and, like, grow professionally, create more value for your company, create more value for your shareholders, and really develop yourself in the industry. There's a lot of really good trainings out there. There's a lot of great certifications where you can really expand your domain skill set and become really rounded professional. So I'll just kind of side note on that. I think it's a great opportunity for people to tap into this. From the threat perspective for us, I mean, since we started the business, which is now 13 years ago, we were always called to do incident response projects. So we would kind of get the phone call like, hey, we just had a major breach. Our crown jewels, SAP systems were affected, either because the attack started at an unprotected SAP environment or because the attackers moved laterally and went after the crown jewels. So we've always been doing a lot of that, but of course we would not talk about that. I mean, you not see that in the press or in the public domain. What I think started changing really over the last years is much more public breach activity, or much more widespread breach activity on these systems. We just did a couple of years ago, we did a pretty deep assessment and study with both SAP and CISA, the Cybersecurity Information Security Agency. And we've discovered there was a significant level of threat activity on these systems. Think about us, we have a network of sensors that we can monitor threat actors exploiting, not only SAP, but also Oracle ERP applications. And what we've seen is it's even surprised ourselves. We saw over like hundreds of exploitations, people breaking into these unprotected systems. And I think there was always this misconception that the bad guys or the hackers do not know SAP. Right, so they know how to hack into a database or a firewall or an operating system, but like no one knows how the systems work. To give you an example, we've seen one attacker that exploited a vulnerability on an unprotected SAP environment, created a super user to remain to gain full control and persistence, but also the attacker itself applied the SAP security patch on the system that he just compromised in order basically to remain undetected and secure access. So that tells you that not only the attacker knows how to exploit an SAP environment with an SAP application level vulnerability, they know how to apply the SAP patch and security node themselves, right? So the level of sophistication and capability and intent that we see in the threat landscape is significant over the last 5 years.
Yeah. We've seen the same. And actually, in particular, over the last 2 or 3 years, we've seen quite a few ransomware attacks on our clients as well. So, the SAP is the critical application in a lot of businesses, not just from a finance perspective, but also, you know, intrinsic in their operations in terms of how they manufacture products, etc., for a lot of our clients. Right. And, locking that system up and then putting your hand out for a ransom is quite a lucrative business for hackers. And I think we've seen that in particular for several clients, over the last couple of years where, they've had that happen to their systems. It's a very modern day problem, and it's a very real threat for organizations. So it's definitely something we've got to help our clients deal with, and it's happening more and more, to be honest.
Yeah, that's a great point on the ransomware. Like we know organizations that if SAP is taken offline, could be $22 million per minute. Right. Because to your point, Richard, manufacturing doesn't work, right? And so when you talk about the impact of this business risk, like you're talking at a very, very high level of impact, which I think most of the industry knew, I think now what you see is the probability of that risk significantly increasing over the last years, right? So basically that equation of like risk is impact times probability, now I think over the last few years really, really exploded.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Our clients have their most intrinsic secrets in their SAP environments too, right? They all have intellectual property in there in terms of recipes and things like that. And all those kind of things are potential risks. So it's not just about bringing the system down. It's also about potentially stealing either money or trade secrets, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that's the challenge is, you know, being a salesperson, when you go and talk to a security expert, back in the day, it was really hard to try and validate the business case in terms of what they have to spend money to secure their estate, but what is the business getting, right? And I think today, right, because of the threats that are out there now, you have a valid business case to say to your CISO or to go up the chain to the CFO and say, we need to invest in security, right? We can no longer do this. And, you know, I was talking to some colleagues this week about cyber insurance. And the funniest part about cyber insurance is like, they tell you what they don't insure, right? And there's very little that they do insure, right? So you really need to make sure that those systems are not vulnerable, right? Because if you are going to go down that route, right, you need to make sure that everything's covered or you're not going to have the insurance. So it's definitely something interesting this week to have learned.
There's an interesting thing to pick up on from what you've said there as well, Leanne, in terms of the stakeholders involved in this. That's something that's evolved over the last few years. So when I sort of first started doing this, the CFO cared a lot about SAP because that's essentially their core finance application. And IT security were very much kept at an arm's length with regards to SAP. SAP was kind of treated as this special system that was more difficult to work with, and you had a specialist SAP team to deal with it. And there was like all IT and then SAP as a very separate thing. And IT security kind of got caught in the same collateral damage of that. And the IT security team were kept away from SAP. And I think kind of actually for a very long time, the IT security team thought the SAP security team was securing SAP. And the SAP security team was just doing roles and authorizations, you know? And it's only over the last sort of 10 years or so that we've been pushing this agenda at Turnkey for a long time now, that this is another business application that needs the CISOs and the IT security team's involvement in it, and that the SAP security teams need to connect up organizationally better with their CISO organization and with their IT security teams. And actually, you know, Mariano, his team, the team at Virtual Forge, you know, have really helped a lot because coming at this from an IT security angle, you're meeting in the middle. And it's really important to do that because there are so many really good principles out there in the IT security space that should be applied to any business application, including SAP. And historically, you know, haven't been. That's kind of one of the kind of reasons we found ourselves catching up in the SAP world from an IT security perspective. I think, you know, arguably there's been a little bit of arrogance in the SAP space that we, you know, we're special and we do SAP differently. And actually, we had a lot to learn in the SAP security space from IT security practitioners as well.
Yeah, and I think, Richard, that's a great point, and I think it goes both ways, right? Because I think on one side you have the security teams that are just, they're not able to basically trust but verify, right? They're just trusting, to your point, that SAP team is taking care of SAP, which is kind of the irony that you're talking about the most important asset for a company, right, from an IT and business perspective, but then you have the person responsible for protecting that company that is almost like crossing their fingers, hoping that this team is doing a good job. And that team is, in many cases, doing the best they can, right? At the same time, they're not aware of what the threat landscape looks like. They may not be aware about this ability to, like, for threat actors to break into the systems. So you have this kind of responsibility gap there. I love what you said also about the need to connect them and also to do it, I think, in a simple way. To your point, there's a lot of good principles already in the cybersecurity function. They're doing vulnerability management. You're doing like secure development. You're doing threat detection and response. You're doing automation for compliance. So there is a lot of processes which you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You have to really be able to like integrate SAP, your business critical apps, into what you're already doing from a cybersecurity perspective. And I think mm-hmm. the work that you do at Turnkey and it's so important in that sense, because you're helping them basically create those programs, create almost that Rosetta Stone between, right, this is what it actually means to do vulnerability management on SAP, right, or threat detection response on SAP, because you still need, it's such a complex domain that you need to kind of almost create that connection and that integration point and translate what this means for the SAP team and why it's important, let's say, to fix this issue, and also help the security team understand that, well, you know what, it's not that easy, actually. If I apply that security patch, we break, 700 interfaces, right? Or if I change that authorization. So it is complicated, but to your point, I think that integration, that connection is where we've seen over the last few years that it started to happen way more than before. And at the end of the day, yeah. If you think about it purely from a risk perspective, I think we're seeing more security teams doing this, because at the end of the day, you're sitting in a very uncomfortable position, because if there is a breach, like most likely the team that's going to get the call is the information security team first, right? So, hey, you're responsible for protecting us. Like, it's going to be a very uncomfortable situation where you have to explain that, well, you thought those teams were actually doing that and they were not, right? So I think it really helps create that kind of holistic view and also make sure that everyone is kind of having a shared understanding of the risk, so they can really move the company and their teams forward.
Absolutely. And actually, something you didn't mention there was identity management, and I'm sure you didn't intentionally leave it out, because actually we've actually sort of reinvented our services over the last few years to ensure that we're taking a more holistic approach to IT security for our clients. But with that deep understanding of SAP that a lot of other practitioners kind of don't have in the market, and we using identity management as an example, we found that there's a lot of big identity management projects going on in organizations, and they leave SAP out of scope. And it's like, why would you leave that out of scope? It's the most important business application in the landscape and the place you can get the most, impact from quickly. And the reason most of the time is that SAP is more complex, and it's more complicated sometimes. People leave it out, rather than embrace it, because it does have complexities and specializations. But at the same time, it's really important to include it in the scope of those types of initiatives, because it's actually a key business application that needs that protection and that extra layer of security that you're adding, for the rest of your business landscape. So.
Absolutely.
So just leaning into that a little, Richard, and just talking about new technologies coming out, right? So, you're saying there's a lot of the expertise, or people are a bit scared of SAP, but, how has the introduction of new technologies like S/4HANA or hybrid landscapes impacted how SAP security has evolved and changed?
Yeah, I mean, I guess ultimately, the hybrid landscape question, I mean, SAP themselves have acquired a number of applications that have become part of their stable of business applications, but they've all got, the original authorization concepts that they had with them. So knitting these products together is a challenge for a lot of organizations, both taking a consistent approach to security, taking a consistent approach to identity management of them, etc. But I think the fundamental shift that's really important in that kind of hybrid landscape S/4HANA model is that essentially everything is cloud facing these days. Everything is public facing, essentially. So you used to have, and I'm going back a while, I suppose, but there were only one or two entry points to your SAP environment if you chose to put them there. So you might have a customer facing portal if you wanted to, and you would make decisions around how you would secure that. You would put one port attached to it. You would, you might put a ring fenced in a DMZ SAP environment that was a customer that was web facing, and you'd have a way of protecting that landscape or that particular part of your SAP system from external threats. I'm sure Mariano would still be able to get in there if he wanted to, but What you find now, though, is that every part of your SAP environment, every element of S/4HANA, every component of that hybrid landscape, is essentially exposed to the web in some respect. So you've kind of got to take this more zero trust approach to how you protect those environments. And also, you have less control over how you secure those yourself sometimes as well. So there are elements of the settings you can apply, et cetera, but you're handing over to hyperscalers the responsibility to elements of the security. You're handing over to SaaS providers of some of these applications the responsibility to secure them. And you need to reinvent some of your internal processes to make sure you're reviewing things like SOC 2 reports and actually taking some of the actions on your side to make sure your hyperscaler is set securely for you. Because I think a lot of organizations don't realize that actually there are still some configuration settings they need to make for things like AWS. Right. There are still some choices they need to make around how they protect their instance of those applications, etc. And it's not an entirely handoff security to those providers. You have responsibilities on your side to review their security reporting, to choose some of those key settings you want to make, etc.
Yeah, that's exactly. So just a comment on that. Like, I think that's exactly what we see. I think there is a lot of concern about, okay, I'm moving my SAP to the cloud. Like, how do we, like, security is, like, even I saw a survey from SAP Insider recently, cybersecurity was one of the biggest concerns and blockers in moving SAP to the cloud. So there's definitely some kind of scary aspects of it, but I think the good news is that I personally believe you can be more secure, like, in the cloud if you do it right, than in many cases how many companies are operating on-prem. So I think it's a very unique opportunity to redefine a lot of the controls, redefine a lot, really evolve your security practice to the new reality of SAP cyber threats. I think what Richard said is critical about the shared responsibility model. Really, I think there's a lot of confusion of, like, what is a hyperscaler supposed to do? What is SAP supposed to do? What I'm supposed to do as a customer? We just announced recently a strategic partnership with SAP, by which they made us basically the only SAP endorsed solution for cybersecurity. And the reason we did that is because there's still a lot of things the customer has to do when they go, for example, with RISE, right? And they go and run in the cloud. We can help. SAP is doing a great job on the infrastructure layer, running a secure cloud environment. But a lot of the things that you still need to do as a customer, we can take a lot of load off the customer's shoulders to automate them, to give them the same visibility they have on-prem now in the cloud. But I think it's a great opportunity for a lot of companies. It's a point in time where if you miss that project, I think also talking about, I think, Glenn, you were talking about budget and how people can fund some of these initiatives. We see a great opportunity, and we see it across the customer base. When there is a digital transformation, where you're doing a new S/4HANA implementation in the cloud, when you're doing one of these major company-wide projects, that's a very unique opportunity for the security teams, for the SAP teams to tap into that budget and make sure that those projects get funded with security by design, versus trying to then, after the project is live, trying to secure it. It's a way harder battle, right? So it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, carry on, Richard. You can...
Well, I was just going to say that's a really good point, Mariano, around security, around budgets, because actually, you know, historically, we've seen a lot of companies sort of tapping into the SAP implementation budget to secure SAP. And I mean, this is one of the reasons that I formed Turnkey and that the company exists, because a lot of the systems integrators just don't do this area particularly well, don't budget for security properly. You know, it's easy to take security out and shave it away to make the price better, to put it in front of the customer. But the reality is that most organizations have a cybersecurity budget now that they're looking to make sure that they, you know, and it's budgets are always tight, but there's companies realize they need to spend money on cybersecurity and are looking for ways to make an impact on the organization with those budgets they've set aside for security. And, you know, if you approach the CISO side of your organization and talk to them about your need to secure your SAP environment, you're going to get a different response to if you're looking for part of a very finite budget inside an SAP team. So it's quite important to think about how you kind of talk to your internal stakeholders at your organization about what your objectives are in securing your SAP systems.
That's both of you, thank you so much. I'm very conscious of time, but I want to throw a question out to you guys, and then I'm going to go to the audience for see if there's some questions in the chat. But this is going to be a really long answer, but I want you guys to just give me like a one-word answer here, right? If you had to say, what is the best practice for securing your organization, like one tip or one trick for somebody to really focus on? And I know that's difficult because there's a lot, but if somebody came to you today and said, like, what's the one thing I need to do to cure my landscape, what would you say?
I can start. I think for me, it starts with visibility. It starts with knowing it's impossible to manage a risk you don't know about or you don't understand. And I think we've seen the evolution of many companies, as Richard was saying at the beginning, many companies are already realized that what like got them here is not going to get them there, right? They cannot continue to operate just with roles and authorizations. But having a view of like what the threat landscape is, but what is your current security posture against that reality, I think it starts with that. So if I would do one thing, would be having visibility on like what is my current security posture. Do I have like how good, bad am I like in terms of like my security configuration, security patches, identities, custom code, like really having an assessment on that environment or the ability to continuously have that visibility. I think it starts with that, and that really drives your roadmap on how you really want to secure the environment more holistically.
Great answer. I like that. Thank you very much, Mariana. How about you, Richard?
Well, firstly, thank you, Mariana, for giving me a little bit more time to think about my answer.
you were texting in the background.
So for me, actually, it would be to move the accountability for securing SAP under your CISO's organization. We're seeing that in a lot of companies, and actually it has a really positive impact on this. In a lot of companies, the SAP security team is sat under the SAP team, you know, or as part of IT. And actually moving it under the IT security umbrella means that the CISO organization and the people in and around that look to apply a lot of good practices around things like patch management, you know, vulnerability assessment, the kind of penetration testing that they would expect to do on business applications on an annual basis, the way that they, you know, look for vulnerabilities in the SAP environment and monitoring, etc. And they'll have a lot of good ideas, some of which are more difficult to implement in your SAP environment than they are in other business applications, and you need to work together with them. But ultimately, if you apply good IT security principles across your SAP environment, which includes roles and authorizations and all the good GRC stuff that SAP practitioners have been doing for years, but if you make that shift, put that team under your CISO's umbrella, you'll find that they will be asking a lot of new questions that need to be answered in order to make sure your SAP system's properly secured.
That's great. That's perfect. Thank you so much. My one word answer was a little bit longer, but I appreciate it.
Accountability. That's what I meant to say.
I will summarize that for you. Well, first of all, I want to thank both of you for spending the time today. Just over 30 minutes here. I do want to go to the chat. There's a couple of questions there, but we've got time for maybe one before we sign off. So I am just going to throw this out to both of you. And, you know, the question is, you know, what advice do you have in how to change or adapt the way we work with our internal and external auditors?
I don't mind taking that one first and letting Mariana have a little
give me some time.
So I think one really important thing for customers to recognize is what an audit is for. Okay. An audit is to help the shareholders understand whether or not the financial position that your organization is reporting is true, fair, and accurate representation of the financial situation of the organization. Okay. Now, in order to do that and in order to make that attestation, your auditor will essentially look at a number of things in relation to the controls that you operate on your SAP environment. But what they will not do is attest to the fact that your SAP environment is secure. Okay? And your auditors are always evolving the way that they approach that controls-based audit. And they are always evolving the things that they check and look at and care about. And they are introducing things like cyber threats and looking at whether your SAP environments are secure to external threats, etc. But, you know, my fundamental piece of advice on this is that you meeting your auditor's expectations doesn't mean you've got a secure SAP environment. They're not there to review every nook and cranny of whether your system is secure or not from external threats. So don't confuse those two. Remember what your audit's for.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I would only add or reinforce what you said also as well, Richard. Like, we've seen the evolution from a security perspective. We've seen the evolution from an audit perspective where we're starting to see, and we work very closely with many of the audit firms, they're starting to include more and more controls at this type of layers we're talking about, right? It's not only about who can create a vendor and a PO, it's like who can like interface with critical components, like where is your SAP security patching like process, like how you're configuring kind of critical security settings, custom code. So we're starting to see them include this as part of the regular financial audits, right? So I think getting, I fully agree, if you may be compliant but not secure, it's absolutely critical that you're like thinking about it from a security perspective. If you're thinking purely from a compliance perspective, I think it's probably a good point in time to start getting a kind of acclimated with some of this, because it's going to start becoming mandatory sooner rather than later, right? Because I don't recognize if I'm, at the end of the day, I want to guarantee the integrity of financial statements. If someone exploits one of these vulnerabilities, they can get unrestricted access to financial fraud, right, and financial statements. So they understand that it's basically a different way to get the same negative outcome, and they need to start checking for those controls.
Just one point to add, actually, as well, that your internal auditor, that's, you know, it's up to you what you internally audit, and you can set different expectations of yourselves internally that go beyond what your external audit might be looking for. So there's no reason internal audit can't play a role in a more active role in this, but they need to move beyond helping you understand what your external auditor is going to be looking for.
That is fair. Well, guys, we've hit the, you know, top of the hour here. So I really want to say thank you. You know, Mariano, Anaptis is fantastic. We love working with you. So thank you for taking the time. Richard, always good to chat to you. You know, you are my boss, so, you know, I have to say that.
Yeah, right. But thank you so much for taking the time. Yeah, likewise. No, it's a pleasure to be working with Turnkey, as always, so many years. So I appreciate the invitation and yeah, great fun having this discussion. Happy to follow up. I know if there are more questions, happy to follow up with the audience. And look forward to another session.
Yeah, thank you.
And to the audience, we will definitely have a look through the questions and we'll come back to you individually on those answers. So that's not a problem. Richard, what would you like to say in closing?
Thanks for hosting, Leanne. Thanks for joining us, Mariano. And thank you for attending to those who joined us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, guys.
Have a good day.